I am sitting here recording this in my pants. And that's not my trousers, if you're in the US. It's my pants, my underpants. Yeah, my underwear. Because my wife washed my jeans. I do have another pair. I just don't like them very much. So I've got to wait for my other pair to dry. While they're drying, I'm going to record the podcast in my underwear. And you're there thinking, oh, in his underwear, can he only afford two pairs of jeans? Well, I've got lots of work clothes as well. I'm not wearing my work clothes to record a podcast. Actually, I was lying. I'm dressed in a tuxedo. Yeah, dinner jacket, white tie, the whole lot, yeah? I've come dressed up all smart. Why are you dressed? Okay, I'm in my pants. Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast! I'm your host, Jack. So, it's a great show for... I say great. It's a show. I've got a show for you, kids. It's a show. It's here. It's in your ears. Oh, that's a bit of a... I like that. I'll try that again. It's a show. It's here. It's in your ears. Yeah, that was really good. So, I think we're going to just get into it, are we? Yeah, how you been anyway? While I'm here, how have you been? Are you good? You're looking good, actually. You're looking really well. I think the spring weather has brought out a colour in your cheeks. You're looking really good. Or, if you're in the southern hemisphere, I think the autumn weather is really bringing out the colour in your cheeks. Yeah, that's nice. So, I guess we'll just get on with the show, and we're going to commence with this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
This episode's version of A Christmas Carol is an episode of a British sitcom called Bad Education. I don't know if it's made it overseas. It was fairly popular here in the UK. Originally, it ran from 2012 to 2014 for three series. And then a film was released in 2015. And then it came back again for another two series, starting in 2023 and 2024. The show was created by Jack Whitehall. He's a stand-up comedian here in the UK. He wrote the first three series. He's very popular here in the UK. He does a lot of stand-up. He had a show called Travels With My Dad or something, was it? I'm not a fan, I won't lie to you. But he was also in the movie version of Clifford the Big Red Dog. And he was in the TV version of The Burbs that came out in the last year or so. So he has got a presence worldwide. To be honest though, although he created it, he wasn't in this episode much because the Christmas Carol episode came out in the later series and was released originally on the 13th of December 2023. Now, it's unlikely you're familiar with the show because I am unfamiliar with the show, but you just got to picture it in your head. The premise is, it's called Bad Education because it's about teachers that aren't very good. That's pretty much it. So just imagine that in a sitcom. And then I'll describe it as best I can. So it opens with this drama teacher whose name is Mr. Carmichael, and he's in a coffin, and a couple of the pupils start rapping about the fact that he's dead. And what I really like about the rap is this bit.
There's another diva up in heaven, all dressed up in Prada. He was technically our teacher, but he taught us nada. He lived by a motto, more is more. But now the brother's dead.
Dead as a door.
That's good, wasn't it? You know, they got a little bit in there from the book. Now, it turns out the teacher's not dead, of course. He just wants to find out what the pupils would say about him after he died, because it turns out that he's leaving. He's leaving because he's always wanted to be an actor, and he's going to be performing in a seasonal extravaganza. Do you want to know more? Have a listen.
I'm leaving Abbey Grove because I am gooped to announce I will be starving in a seasonal extravaganza! A pantomime! A mere stone throw away from London St. Martin's Lane.
Well, it's in Swindon.
Swindon? The big leagues.
Yeah, so he's got this acting job, so he's going to quit the school. Then we hear this Christmas market in the playground. and have a listen to this.
Hoban has rented out the playground to some German Christmas market. I do not need reminding that I am a year older and not a penny richer.
Yeah, did you get that as well? Not a penny richer. Loved that bit. Then in comes Mr. Mitchell. Or is it Mr. Harper? His name's either Harper Mitchell or Mitchell Harper. We go with Mr. Harper. His first name is Mitchell. Now, I should have said this before. Mr. Carmichael and also Mr. Harper, were originally pupils in the first three series. And then, because it's like 10 years later, they're actually teachers now. I should have said that. And Mr. Harper is the sports teacher. He bursts in and he's telling everyone, oh, we've got Christmas lunch in the canteen. Everyone come on down. And Mr. Carmichael's not coming because he wants to have a call with the people he's going to be acting with or something. I forget what's happening. I should mention Mr. Harper, actually. He's played by a chap called Charlie Wareham. And he originally became famous by performing on Britain's Got Talent when he was only 14. He did like a stand-up routine. Yeah, I remember that as well. What, 12 years ago? Goodness. Anyway, so Mr. Carmichael goes back into his coffin for some reason. And he falls asleep. But he wakes up and he hears this moaning. And it's Alfie, the ex-teacher, who was Jack Whitehall, the one I mentioned earlier, who originally wrote it. And he says this.
Alfie?
Ask me not who I am, but who I was.
Okay, were you Alfie?
In life, I was Alfred Prufrock Wickers.
So he's the Marley character, obviously, and he sings a song. Have a listen to a bit of it. It's about being a bad teacher. Here it comes.
These are the chains I forged in life, hewn from the grades of my students. These E's use no E's in sight. It seems at my job I was useless.
Yeah, and pretty much he says you're going to be visited by three spirits and they'll show you why you should stay at Abbey Grove. That's the name of the school, which I should have mentioned earlier, but I didn't. So then we get the ghost of Christmas past, and I did like this. As he comes in, he's got a hairdryer and he's blowing it in his face to make it look like the wind's blowing past him. I kind of like that. Yeah. Anyway, he's played by Matthew Horne. Now, his character originally in the first three series was the head teacher. And then in the space of the first three series and then the later series, he got demoted to being a cook in the kitchen. I'm not sure why, because like I say, this is the only episode I've ever watched. He's played by a chap called Matthew Horne. Matthew Horne is very famous in the UK because he played Gavin in the TV show Gavin and Stacey, which was a bit of a cultural phenomenon in this country. Yeah, and it made a star of James Corden, who I'm sure you're all familiar with. So anyway, that's Matthew Horne. He's the ghost of Christmas past, Mr. Fraser, and he takes Mr. Carmichael back to 2010, back when Mr. Carmichael was one of the students there. And he sings a song about the good old days. And when they get back in time, we see Mr. Carmichael when he was a student at the school. And we hear this line. Have a listen.
It's Christmas 2010. Mm. Matt Cardle is number one and all is right with the world. Mm. But who's this solitary boy? As solitary as an oyster.
Yeah, do you get that? Yeah, solitary as an oyster. Very good. They're really keeping pretty close to the book there, aren't they? Now, we find out that when he was a young student, he auditioned for drama school. And Mr. Fraser lost his acceptance letter because he would have got into drama school. He always thought he was rejected. Turns out, he wasn't rejected. And he missed his place. And there's a bit of a joke that his place at drama school was taken up by an actor who went on to become Chesney in Coronation Street, which probably means nothing to nearly all my listeners, but will mean something to two or three of you. I could go into the whole bit about how he didn't get into drama school. It's quite a funny bit, but we'll be here all day. If you want to see it, you can watch it, can't you? Now, this is back in a time, you know, I mentioned earlier that Mr. Horne was originally the head teacher. Well, this is when he was the head teacher, back in 2010. So the ghost of Christmas past, Mr. Horne, is going up to the 2010 Mr. Horne and shouting, "Buy crypto! Buy crypto!" Which I found kind of funny. Obviously, he's a ghost, so it can't affect him, but that was something. That's pretty much it, really, that bit. There's not a massive bit to it. He just finds out that he could have gone to drama school. I don't know why that would encourage him to want to stay at his job at Abbey Grove. Doesn't make any sense. Anyway, he falls asleep or falls over or does something. Then he opens his eyes or wakes up or does something. And we get Mrs. Hoban, and she's the present head teacher at the school, and she's going to show him what he's missing out on because he's not gone to this lunch in the canteen. So we see a bit where Mr. Harper, remember the one I mentioned earlier, the sports teacher, he's mixing up some eggnog and filling it with vodka, and he hears the German market people outside, and he's a massive fan of Die Hard, and he thinks, oh my God, it's actually happening. There's German terrorists here, and he's going to go and save the day. Then we cut to the canteen where all the kids are sat round, and we get this gag.
Now this will cheer you up. It's a festive cordial with grapes, blackcurrants and raspberries. 10 years ago, a ghostly voice told me to invest in Vimto, and I've never looked back. Vimto! Vimto! Come and get your Vimto!
He said crypto.
So the present day Mr. Horn, who's now a cook, has invested in Vimto because he heard crypto. It's the joke from earlier. It's quite funny, really, isn't it? No? Okay. So all the kids all sat round having their Christmas lunch in the canteen. It's not Christmas Day, obviously. It's like the last day of school. I should have said that earlier, but it's obvious. And in comes this German, rolls in on this chair, and on the front of him is written, "Now I have a German to English phrase book. Ho, ho, ho." And all the kids are talking about the fact that Mr. Harper's gone all Bruce Willis and they need to do something. But one of them, who's Warren, who really likes Mr. Carmichael, is going, "Oh, we should wait for Mr. Carmichael. He'll know what to do." But the others say, "No, he doesn't care anymore. Forget about him." And then they hear Mr. Harper and he's stuck in the elevator shaft and they can hear him like banging around. So has anyone ever got stuck in a ventilation shaft? Has that ever actually happened? I don't know. Anyway, they can hear him banging around in the ventilation shaft, so they go off to go and rescue him out of the shaft. And then we get Carmichael talking with the ghost of Christmas present about how the kids are going to be fine without him if he leaves. And then in comes Mr. Harper, and he's singing about defeating the terrorists. Have a listen to this.
Yippee-ki-yay, all you numpties, I killed all the terrorists. They thought that they could outsmart me, but it seems I'm cleverest.
That's not true, sir. He's not Hans Gruber.
Jesus, this eggnog's 50 proof.
Bollocks, he was proper evil, so I threw him off the roof.
And then that song transforms into all the kids singing about how much they love their favourite teacher. And again, it's Mr. Harper, the sports teacher. And have a listen to this.
Mr. Mitchell's the greatest teacher I know.
I know.
Must be teachers that say this. Worse. But Mr. Mitchell is no weirdo.
If you are feeling down, he'll cheer you right up.
He's never worn a frown, he'll take you to the pub.
But strictly as a mate, it's definitely not a date.
Mr. Mitchell's so great, he's our kind of star.
Yeah, so Mr. Carmichael gets really jealous about that. He's like, I'm not happy about this. This ain't cool. And he wants to wake up, so he runs off. But then, he's in the future. And then you've got the ghost of Christmas yet to come. He's all like in this big robe and you can't see his face or everything because it's all covered in a mask. And it's a bit of a school reunion. Not much of a reunion, to be honest, because only five pupils turn up. But it's pretty much the five main pupils from the show that we saw earlier. The ones that were doing the rapping and the ones that were in the canteen. Anyway, you understand what's going on. So this reunion's taking place in 2046 and one of them's become a politician. One of them's become a lawyer. They've all done really well, apart from one really good looking lad who's turned into like a guinea pig for Big Pharma. And he's got huge thumbs because he tested some lead-based nail varnish or something. And they start talking about the past and who they're there to remember. And there's a picture with a cloth over it. And they're all saying these wonderful things. And Mr. Carmichael thinks, oh, they're talking about me. And he removes the cloth. And it turns out it's Warren. Do you remember Warren? I mentioned him briefly. He's the one that actually likes Mr. Carmichael. And he's amazed that it's Warren. And we hear this.
Wait, Spirit. Does that mean if I quit tonight, Warren's this... Oh, my God. So it's just a little... just a little bit awkward because I love him, but... I'm probably still going to take the panto, so...
Mr. Carmichael's like, well, I'm still going to do panto anyway. And the ghost pulls back his hood and it's Warren. He's like, I can't believe you just said that, which is something. And it turns out that Warren died when he was 40 on a scuba diving accident on the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. We'll come to that again in a second. But then we cut back to the kids, and they're grown-up kids, and they're all trying to remember the name of one of their teachers, Mr. Carmichael, obviously, and we find out what happens to him. They start talking about it, and this is what we find out.
He does the shipping forecast.
Huh? Viking! Southeast 6 to Gale 8. Fog, moderate to rough. Cremartie, northeast 3 to 5. Said foggy, patches, dogger, thunder showers, very, very rough. I said abandon ship! Abandon ship! Abandon ship!
He's responsible for an oil tanker overturning off the coast of Australia, poisoning the world's last remaining coral reef, and...
killing Warren.
Yeah.
He was swimming in that coral reef.
But he still doesn't care. He still, this is the whole point, right? At the end of it, he still doesn't care. At the end of it, he's like, I'm still doing Panto, I don't care. I'm still doing Panto, I'd rather be an actor than be a teacher. It hasn't worked. Clearly hasn't worked. So then we go back to the present in the canteen. All the kids are sitting around and they're all sad because Carmichael didn't turn up for the lunch. And then in he comes. And it's like, oh, did it turn out that the ghosts made him change his mind? No, that's not it at all. It's because he found out that his role in the panto was going to be the back end of the hall. Have a listen to this.
I may not be exactly where I dreamt I was going to be when I was 15, but I'm not going to give away everything I've got for everything I'm not. I've finally realised what makes me special. It's you guys. The look on your faces when I just walked in, you're all stars. And, I mean, that panto was just, it's just not right for me on like an artistic level.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, and just out of interest, what part did they give you?
Fine. I didn't realise I was being cast as the panto horse.
Which end?
The wrong end. And the front part was being played by Chesney from Coronation Street.
Yeah, he had a nice little speech there. And then he turns round, and it's a bit like at the end of Return of the Jedi, you know, when Luke is looking back and he sees all the old ghosts like Obi-Wan and Yoda and his dad and that. Well, in this one, he looks back and he sees Alfie, who's Marley, and the three spirits, which is interesting because all three of them are still alive in present day. Yeah. And then he starts to sing, but this German Oompa band comes in and Mitchell gets all excited, thinking the terrorists are attacking, and it ends with this.
Germans!
Oh my God, Harrison, it's actually happening. It's a Christmas miracle.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker!
And that's it really, boys and girls. I mean, as versions of A Christmas Carol go, I didn't really mind it. I thought it was quite funny. The songs were actually quite decent. Some of the singing was really good. But I was never a fan of the show, so I didn't have any frame of reference. So I watched it, I understood it, but I didn't love it. Maybe if I was a fan of the show, I would have liked it a lot more. But again, like I say, as versions of A Christmas Carol go, it is one. If you want to check it out, it's called Bad Education, Christmas Carol. You can watch it on the BBC iPlayer, which I don't know if that's available overseas, but if you're desperate to find it, I'm sure you could somewhere. Now, boys and girls, we're going to do this.
Where are you, Christmas?
Where are you, Christmas? How about Gdańsk, Poland? A lot of Poland's cities have late Renaissance-style buildings and quaint streets, but Gdańsk's position on the Baltic Sea often provides a light snowfall and frosty air that enhances the winter experience all year round. So if you're looking for a bit of Christmas throughout the rest of the year, it's really not a bad place to start. While it may not have those year-round Christmas shops or decorations, it has a spirit that visitors describe. It's like the city never stops celebrating the holiday. The historic buildings create a magical backdrop with their Gothic and Renaissance design. Every street looks festive. Every cafe feels cozy. And it has this permanent, it's 2 weeks before Christmas and everyone's in a good mood kind of atmosphere, even in the middle of the summer. Part of it is because of this architecture. The colorful old buildings, the cobblestone streets, and the little cafes tucked into century-old corners. And then there's the weather. Even when it's not snowing, it has that chilly sweater weather vibe that makes you crave hot chocolate and cookies. Even the street lamps look festive. So Gdansk has that perpetual feel of a permanent Christmas market. Now, if you know of another chilly storybook location that feels like you wandered into a Christmas card, you relate it to Jack, he'll describe it for me, and together we'll find Christmas around the world.
Another great one. What I like about that one is there's nothing actually Christmassy about it, but just the feeling of it, because it looks like what we associate with Christmas. Just imagine that. You're going somewhere, they're not shoving Christmas down your throat, but you're just feeling Christmas. What a wonderful feeling that must be. So if you're not doing anything this afternoon, why don't you get yourselves out there? Nice. While we're on the subject of Where Are You Christmas, last episode, do you remember Bob talked about Niagara-on-the-Lake? Well, I received an email from Mike Westphal from the Advent Calendar House podcast, and he told me that he actually went there on his honeymoon with his wife. He said it wasn't Christmas time, but he did buy an ornament, which I thought was nice. Thanks for sharing that, Mike, and great work, Bob. He'll be back again in a bit, but now we're doing this.
I did something I shouldn't have, and these people called me on it.
You didn't.
That's pretty low, mister. If I had a rubber hose, I would beat you.
Now, boys and girls, if you're an avid listener to I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno, that world-famous podcast that my two daughters host, you would be well aware that a couple of episodes ago, they had an interview with one of their listeners, Nettie Tabeau. That name might ring a bell because she's an avid listener to this show as well, and she always sends in her score for the quiz. She did an interview with the girls. We had a little bit of time at the end of the interview for her to share a Christmas story of shame. So I'm going to play it. Now, so boys and girls, I've got a fantastic guest, the wonderful Nettie Tabeau, who has been listening for far too long to the show. She always sends in her quiz score, and she normally does worse than me, which I really appreciate. She has been on my daughter's podcast, so if you're listening to that, you'll hear her on there. But today, she's going to share her story of shame. Nettie, tell us your story.
Hi.
Of shame. Hi.
Hi.
Tell us the story.
One year, we decided to get a tree at a tree farm. So it was idyllic, beautiful, cold. We dressed up, we took pictures, we had the saw, we saw the tree down. The people were lovely. It was during COVID. And then we got the tree home, got the lights on, got the ornaments up. It was beautiful. It took like kind of 2 full days to get the whole tree decorated. And then I
was
sitting
there.
How
big was it? Like a proper, like, what are you talking? 7 or 8 foot?
It's like a 6-7 foot tree. Not huge, but
taller, pretty big. Taller than you, but a lot taller?
Yeah, not a lot,
okay.
A little bit.
It took you 2 days to decorate. What were you doing then?
Well, I put the lights on. Like, I'm very picky about, like, I like lots of lights.
Oh, okay,
so
okay. You were doing a proper
kind
job.
Kind of wind
not
them
like me.
And do it. It's terrible. Yeah,
you didn't,
and then
you didn't just pour the decorations over the top of it like I do then?
No, I wish
okay.
I could.
Okay.
I'm too, like, you know, whatever, for to have to do it just so. So anyway, I got it all perfect, sitting there enjoying my breakfast, my tea, with sitting by the tree, and I look up at the top, where you usually see some sap from, you know, a cut tree.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, I notice that the sap is, like, glistening, and things are moving all over it. And I get up, and there's thousands of little larva bug somethings all over it.
We're talking like little maggots?
I don't think they were maggots. I think what they ended up being were little spiders.
Oh,
little
what, spider tiny baby larvae. Spiders? Just crawling
yes.
all over it?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yes. And I didn't have
so
the heart.
You think they just hatched out there and then, in the heat of your house?
Yes, and then they ate the sap. So my husband had such a nice time, and I didn't have the heart to, like, ruin the memory for him. So I didn't say anything, and I was just like, and I was not going to decorate this tree again. So I just tried to ignore it. But that summer, we did have a lot of spiders. So
oh, wow. Well, you didn't say anything. You just left them on there. You didn't spray them. You didn't do anything.
I couldn't, and I have all these family ornaments, and, you know, so I just had to, like, suck it up and just act like, yes, it's the best tree.
It's the best tree ever. That's covered in spiders. Oh no. I didn't say this, boys and girls. Nettie's in Seattle, near Seattle in Washington. So do you have any could there have been poisonous, these spiders then?
I don't think so.
No, you're okay up there, are you? Because you're quite... If you're up in Washington, then you probably... You get a proper winter, don't you? It's not like... So you could have a cut tree up there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Covered in spiders. Spider decorations. They weave their own tinsel. One of my old episodes, I think episode 3, I talked about the legend of Christmas tinsel. And I forget the story. But it's something to do with spiders weaving their webs on the
webs?
Tree.
Webs? Oh.
Yeah, and then I think the webs turned into gold in the morning or silver or something. Yeah, listen to episode 3. It's called tinsel.
That didn't happen to me.
No. The tiny ones that just... Yeah, well, being a gardener, I'm familiar with this. I get them.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's nature. Yeah, and I'm a gardener too in my flower gardens and stuff. But yeah, so I was like, I like that the trees weren't sprayed. So, you know, there's things living there.
That's true.
I understand that. That's wonderful. But, you know, in your house, you really don't want thousands of spiders that you aren't planning for.
You'd finish decorating at this point, though, had you? You had. Well, that's a good... Imagine if it was while you were doing it. And they started getting on you, and
that would have been different, yeah. But I think it takes a few days for the sap to really start flowing on the top. Just all the cut trees we've had.
Well, so it's because you trimmed the top of it, obviously, because sometimes you get that really tall stem. So you trim that. So what they were elsewhere in the tree, and they'd all made their way up to eat the sap.
I guess they found the food source, and they were just like drawn to it or something.
Oh, damn.
I'm guessing, but yeah, it took several years before I actually told Craig. Like, remember that tree? It was covered in spiders.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Nettie. I really appreciate that. Is there anything you want to say to the listeners? You're going to wish them Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas. Have the best Christmas ever. And just keep Christmas in your heart because it's wonderful.
There we go. Fantastic work. Got to say a big thank you to Nettie. She was a real delight, not just to be on my show, but also for recording with my girls as well. It was a real pleasure to meet her after all this time. Thanks again, Nettie. Now, boys and girls, we're going to do this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Okay. I don't want to get technical or anything, but according to chemistry, alcohol is a solution. So I've been looking for Christmas beer stickers online. Now this all started with my brother-in-law. He began collecting brewery stickers and would put them on his cooler. I never paid much attention, but my sons did. Suddenly they were adding stickers to their coolers, and we were going to different breweries to get them stickers. Now after he filled his cooler, my brother-in-law took an old mirror and began adding stickers to it. Now I was interested. I loved to look at all the various stickers, and I started wondering if maybe I could collect Christmas beer stickers. I realized it might be a little more difficult given that these beers are seasonal, not the most popular, and they don't promote a brewery. But it was harder than I thought. Plus, I bought a super big bulletin board to hang them on. So as I began scouring websites like eBay and Etsy, I started to run across many different Christmas custom stickers and decals. And one I kept seeing was this unique design that would say either Santa knows you've been a knob or Santa thinks you're a knob. Now at first I assumed they meant doorknob, and I couldn't understand why the Brits were so furious about household hardware. In America, knob boringly describes that rounded handle or control mechanism that opens a door. However, in England, the term means something much more colorful. Knob, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, has two groups of meanings. The first, in British slang, indicates a coarse insult used to describe someone as stupid, obnoxious, or incompetent. It's comparable to us calling someone a jerk or an idiot here in the States. Knob seems directed at a person's character or behavior, so saying he's a right knob means he's an unpleasant or foolish person. Now sometimes, in true English fashion, a bit is added, so you don't judge the person too harshly. For example, you might say something like, he seems like a bit of a knob, or
You're being a bit of a knob. Now, the word is derogatory, but it can be playful among friends. And this may be because it has another use as a metaphor for the male appendage. Or, in some contexts, it can be spelled N-O-B and used as slang for the upper class in British society, as an abbreviation for noble or nobility. The two terms are often interchangeable and not clearly distinguishable, which I think is the point. So you can say, the knob acts like a right knob. The confusing thing about the word knob in the UK is that it means everything except what I had thought it meant. A knob can be an idiot, an insult, part of the male anatomy, and the upper crust. But what about an actual physical knob? When we turn on our car radio in the US, we use the knob. Given what it is slang for in the UK, when someone says, turn the knob a bit, I might have a follow-up question that I absolutely do not want to say out loud. Cheers and happy Christmas.
You know, what I find really funny about this is we don't say knob at all. We say knob. You're a knob, mate. Yeah, not knob. Sorry, Bob. Or Bab. Sorry, Bab. I shouldn't take the mick out of your accent. Do you know what's funny? It's another one. I didn't know that people didn't say this overseas. We do use the term knob for a doorknob as well, but it seems more prevalent these days. If you're using the word knob, you're referring to someone you're not very fond of or your dinkle. Anyway, great work as ever, Bob, teaching us all we need to know about British swear words. Of course, I have to recommend Bob's podcast. It's Festive Foreign Film Fans. Every 2 weeks it comes out. Go and listen to it after you've listened to this. Now, boys and girls, we're doing this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Boys and girls, it is the quiz, your favourite part of the show. And we're going to start with last episode scores. Now, with 4 points is Brian McGloin. Don't feel too bad about that, Brian, because at least you sent it in. You did that. You managed to do that. So well done, Brian. 4 points. With 5 points, we've got John Gomez, Todd Pulte, Dawna Gerst, and Angela Moss. 6 points, David Ferguson, Stephen Beach, Frank Talley, Nick Cole, Pamela Wootton, and Ed Daly. With 7 points, we've got, you heard her earlier, the lovely Nettie Tabeau, Sean Sotka from the Christmas Podcast podcast, Lindsay Allen, and that's the first time Lindsay has sent her score in. So well done, Lindsay, for one, sending in your score, and two, scoring 7. Very respectable score. Also with 7 points, we've got Caroline Cole, Barbara Wright, and Guy Sawyer. And if you remember, boys and girls, I managed to score 8 because I'm super clever. And I'll tell you who is also super clever. Jennifer Kay, Martin Goodman, Gerald Case Blanchard, and you know what, boys and girls? Gerald Case Blanchard actually sent me a score twice. Yeah, that's how proud he was, boys and girls. He sent me the score twice. And also, with 8 points, we've got Nicola McLean. With 9 points, 9 points, we've got Benji Pearson, who's had quite a good run lately. He's doing very well. And also, Mike Westphal from the Advent Calendar House podcast. Well done, boys. See, Mike Westphal, he's a podcaster. He's a clever guy. That shows. Well done, you two. But with 11 points, boys and girls, 11 points is the wonderful, the fantastic Mary Pulte. Now, here's the thing, boys and girls. She's the only one out of all the people who sent their scores in, out of 24 people, she's the only one who told me I'd asked 11 questions. And she even said, I'm probably not the only one to tell you this. Well, you were, Mary, and for that, I've given you 5 bonus points. So she scored 11 out of 11. Now, all these other people, we've got a bit of a situation that's arisen. Because I said I scored 8. Turns out, all I did was took off the ones that I got wrong. I actually scored 9 out of 11. So it's highly likely that a lot of these people scored higher. I know for a fact Mike Westphal said he only got 1 wrong. So Mike, you actually scored 10, not 9. Yeah, You weren't paying attention, were you? Benji, I don't know what you scored. I'm guessing you might have got 10 as well. The thing is, if you score low, you count up how many got right. If you score high, you count up how many got wrong. It's easier that way, isn't it? To be honest, these scores, pretty much pointless. Apart from Mary. Mary, you're glorious. Glorious you are. Everyone, wherever you are, I want you to stand up straight and I want you to say in a clear, loud voice, thank you, Mary. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Mary. Yeah. Can you believe that? I didn't notice it. I mean, I don't pay a lot of attention to what comes out of my mouth, but I do have to like go through my book and choose 10 questions. Somehow I chose 11 and somehow Mary's the only one who noticed. So yeah, thanks to everyone for sending in your scores, which may or may not have been the correct score, whatever you scored. I don't know. You don't know. No one knows. Well, Mary knows. Mary's paying attention. So yeah, this episode, I know I have got 10 questions. I've been paying attention. I've counted out 10. Okay, should we start this week's quiz? And don't bother emailing me about your score last week. Don't say, oh, I only got 2 wrong. I must have scored 9. Don't waste your time. All right, you blew it. You all blew it, apart from Mary. Mary's great. Everyone else is rubbish. That includes me in the rubbish bit. But then you know that because you listen to the show. Can we move on to this week's quiz? Yes, we can. We're going to do it right now. I've got to say, boys and girls, there's some very, very tricky questions in here. They start off quite easy. Well, I say that, some of them are. Let's see how we get on anyway. Question number 1. Which country donates the tree that is displayed every year in London's Trafalgar Square? Now, I've talked about that on the show before, and I think it's also been a question on the quiz before. So, you've got no excuses for getting that one wrong. Right, question number 2. When first invented, what was tinsel made from? And there's a clue there. Tinsel. Yeah. Okay, question number 3. Since the 1960s, what sweet item has been created each year for display in the White House? As it stands, I haven't got a clue. I hope you have. Right, next one. What colour is the candle traditionally placed in the window on Christmas Eve in Ireland? Now, for some reason, I'm thinking I've asked this question before. I don't know if it was in this quiz book. It feels like it wasn't that long ago. And it feels like my dear listener, Jeannie Mulligan, knew the answer when I asked the question before. So, yeah. Well, we're going to find out in a bit, aren't we? I'm not doing well so far, kids. Question number 5. In parts of Spain, the traditional nativity scene has an extra member. What are they called? It says, what are they called? I'll tell you what, I'll let you have it if you can tell me what they're doing. Okay, I've covered that in the show. You must know that one. Next one. In Sweden, a giant creature made of straw decorates the town square. What is the creature and in which town can it be found? Well, I'll tell you this, boys and girls. I covered that in an episode before as well. And I've no idea what the name of the town... Oh, hang on. Oh, I think I do know the name of the town, thinking about it. Yeah, you don't have to get the name of the town. I will accept if you can tell me what the creature is. Okay, next one. Which city in Germany is particularly famous for its wreaths? Any ideas? Any? Anyone out there? We've all gone a bit quiet. Yeah. Goodness me. Okay, next one. What is the... I'm only keeping this one in because I reckon Benji Pearson will know it. So if you don't get it, Benji, you've let everyone down. What is the name of the Swedish horse decorations that are popular at Christmas? My wife's friends from Sweden, I've talked about them loads of times before, I had one of them on the show, they've never mentioned any horse-shaped decorations that are popular at Christmas. What's going on? Right. Okay, we've got 2 more. In Finland, ornate decorations called himmeli are made at Christmas. Traditionally, what are they made from? Now, I possibly was sent one of these by a listener, although I could be completely wrong. So I've got an idea. I've just got my fingers crossed on this one. And the final question. In the Philippines, there is a festival of giant what? Every Christmas. Every Christmas. And I've covered that one on the show as well. So you should know that one, boys and girls. Right. Let's find out these answers. Okay, question number 1. Which country donates the tree that is displayed every year in London's Trafalgar Square? Well, this is sent from Norway, and it's a thank you for us helping them in World War II. Yeah, the answer is Norway. Okay, question number 2. When first invented, what was tinsel made from? I said there's a clue in the question. Tinsel. Yep, the clue was sul, as in silver. because it's silver, boys and girls. Tinsel used to be made from silver, but the problem was it tarnished too much. So then he started making it. Do you know what? Listen to episode 2 of the podcast, possibly 3 of the podcast, and you'll hear all about it while I discuss tinsel. Yeah, sorry if I led you astray with the whole tin bit there. It's just me being a git, really. Right, question number 3. Since the 1960s, what sweet item has been created each year for display in the White House? Well, I just thought candy cane. Is it a nice candy cane? Well, it ain't a candy cane. No, it was a gingerbread house. Yeah, so I nosed that one up, didn't I? Right, question number 4. What colour is the candle traditionally placed in the window on Christmas Eve in Ireland? Well, I thought it's got to be either white, green or red. And I thought, red? Well, that's a bit like, you know, putting your red light in the window. Well, that is the correct answer. I got it right. It's a red candle, boys and girls. Yes, to suggest that you are a lady of the night. Okay, question number 5. In parts of Spain, the traditional nativity scene has an extra member. What is it called, or what is it doing? Well, the answer is El Cagana. And he is there doing a poo in the nativity scene. It's quite unhygienic, really. You know, there's a little baby there. He's doing a poo right next to it. Having said that, do you know what I mean? It's full of, like, oxen and ass. And they're doing poos all over the place. Everyone's pooing. It's a bit disrespectful. It's baby Jesus. And they're just pooing everywhere. Shame, I say. Shame on you. Okay, in Sweden, a giant creature made of straw decorates the town square. What is the creature, and in which town can it be found? Well, the answer is, it's a goat, and it's in Gävle. And I remembered that. I might be saying it wrong, but it's the Gävle goat. Yeah, and I covered that in an episode. So you should know it, boys and girls. I tell you what, if you haven't listened to that episode, it's really interesting. Just that bit. Probably the rest of the show is awful, but yeah, it's worth listening to, in my opinion. Okay, next one. Which city in Germany is particularly famous for its wreaths? Well, I thought, do you know what, Hamburg. Let's go with Hamburg. The answer was Dresden. Yeah, so there's that, isn't there? I'm disappointed. Although, having said that, every year when I put my wreath up, I always think of those famous wreaths from Hamburg. So maybe the book got it wrong. I don't know. Okay, next question. What is the name of the Swedish horse decorations that are popular at Christmas? Well, the answer is Dala, spelt D-A-L-A, Dala. I did not know that. I did not know that at all. Question number... Oh, we're up to number 9 now, boys and girls. Right, here we go. In Finland, ornate decorations called Himmeli are made at Christmas. Traditionally, what are they made from? Well, boys and girls, I was thinking the answer to that was paper. But I was thinking of completely the wrong thing, and the answer is straw. And they're like geometric shapes made out of straw that you hang on your tree. Yeah, and the last question, boys and girls. In the Philippines, there is a festival of giant what every Christmas? Well, I covered this in a previous episode. And the answer is lanterns, but they don't look like lanterns. They're just these huge light displays. Yeah, you should check out that episode as well, boys and girls. If you said light displays, I'll accept it because, you know, that's what they if you saw one, you go, that's a lantern. It don't look like a lantern. It looks like a big light display. They're normally in a circle with loads of coloured lights. So anyway, that's that. All right, it's over now. Well, I scored 6, boys and girls. And I'll tell you what, I'm actually quite pleased with that because that was a tough one, wasn't it? Goodness me. Tell you what, we've all learnt something. Let's hope we can remember it. Don't forget to send me a score. I don't care how badly you did, I still love you. So send in your score. You know the email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. Now, boys and girls, we're going to do this. And that is it for this episode, boys and girls. I don't have a recommendation this week because I've been listening to the same podcast as I was the last couple of weeks. I need to say a big thank you to Nettie for being part of the show and giving us her story of shame. Thanks, of course, to Bob Baker for his 2 great segments and to every one of you who sent in your quiz scores. Don't forget to send in your quiz score this week. You know the email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. And if you just want to get in touch because you want to be part of the show, maybe you've got a story of shame. Maybe you've got something else you want to share with me. I don't know. And how about a suggestion for Bob of Where Are You Christmas? Something like that. Get in touch. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. But in the meantime, you know I love you. Merry Happy Christmas.
Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho.